Let's keep moving right through hour number two. Nice to have you here. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. And this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you're on hold, hang in there. If not, I've got one line open. It's good in the U.S. In fact, it's good in Canada. It's good everywhere. 1-800-636-8686. The Packers are 2-0. They're in first place in the NFC North. We are joined right now by somebody who's got a lot to do with all that, a running back for the Packers. He had a career-high 23 carries for 116 yards and a TD in Sunday's big win over Minnesota. He added four receptions for 34 yards, 189 yards from scrimmage this season. He was the 182nd pick overall in 2017 out of UTEP. Packers at home against Denver on Sunday. Running back Aaron Jones is my guest. Aaron, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. And you? Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. All right, so you had 23 carries. I would imagine if you get that many touches, you're going to get banged up a little bit. You're going to take some hits. You might be a little bit sore. But how good does it feel to carry that kind of a workload and to do it in a win over a very good Vikings team?
It feels really good. We ran the ball very efficient, and that's something we wanted to do coming in. And like you said, with that many carries, your body's going to be a little sore after the game. But I'm feeling good, and I'm just excited about everything.
Yeah, I think efficient is a really good word because the offense did not get off to the fastest start against Chicago in the opener. But on Sunday, you guys get out really quickly, and you put up points in a hurry. How focused were you on getting off to a fast start, and how were you able to do so against a Vikings defense that is really effective?
We knew that was going to be one of the important things that we had to do was come out fast. We knew against Chicago we didn't come out fast, and that kind of affected us. So that's something we made a point all week to come out fast, and I think we did that pretty well.
We're talking Aaron Jones. You did. You know, there was a lot of talk last year about you maybe not getting the ball enough. I know you were not going to be the one to complain about that, not to complain about getting more touches. But how much pride is there in you getting a career high in carries on Sunday and then responding the way you did with 116 yards and that touchdown?
I think it just shows that I can handle, and I love getting it like that, and I can be that kind of guy going forward.
Yeah, it's one thing to get the touches, Aaron, right? But Coach Matt LaFleur called you the offensive player of the game, but it wasn't just about the carries and the receptions. There was that one block that you dropped on Viking safety Harrison Smith when he was coming to hit Aaron Rodgers. What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to have your quarterbacks back?
It felt great to have the quarterbacks back. Having him trust me is a big thing, and anytime you can step up there and stone a safety or anybody rushing is going to help the team. And I just saw him starting to feel towards the A-gap, and I kind of came down and trap-blocked him a little bit and knocked him down.
Aaron Jones is joining us. You did. And then after the season opener, you were telling people that the offense is getting better every single day. We just need a little bit of time to get some things tied together. Did Sunday's win, and in particular the first half of that game, feel like a good step in that direction?
Yes, sir, it definitely did. I just felt like those were that's like the baseline. We're just showing you guys what we can be, and we just got to take what we did in the first half and do it throughout the whole game and finish the game.
So exactly, baseline, right? So this is where you are right now, and there's been so much talk about that new offense that Matt LaFleur brought with him. Like, how different is it from what you had under Mike McCarthy, and then how much has your role changed in the new offense?
I get the ball in space a little bit more. I'm used in like different packages. You see me on the jet sweep this past week, and just different things like that. And it keeps you on your toes. Long play calls and mirrored looks. Don't know if we're gonna run out of it, pass out of it. So it's things like that that is helping us.
We're talking Aaron Jones, Green Bay Packer running back. Aaron Rodgers told everybody after that season opening win about how good your defense was. I mean, he made a point of saying, we got a defense now. We got a defense. So from an offensive perspective, how good is your defense, and how much does it fire you guys up to see them getting after it the way they do?
Our defense is really good. I think we have one of the best defenses in the league right now, and it does a lot for the offense. Knowing that we, like, not that we want to come in come on the field and have a three and out. But if we do, we have a great defense behind us to back us up and stand tall for us and get us the ball back. And that's what they did all day on Sunday. They had their back against the wall, a couple drives, and held them to a field goal. They missed a field goal, so that's just big for us, and that gives the offense more operating room and play a little bit more freely.
Packers running back Aaron Jones, my guest once again. You know, when you play for the team that you play for and you do it in that town for that team, you got the quarterback you have a young head coach, everybody's looking, everybody's watching everything, trying to read into things that may or may not exist. Bottom line it for me, because you're living it. You're 2-0. You've got wins over division opponents. You're always looking for ways to improve. I understand that. But what is the vibe like around that team, and how good is life around the team right now? What's it really like on the inside?
On the inside, we still got our hard hats on. And every day we got to stack our success, and this is just the beginning. This is not where we want to be. We're in the right direction, but we still got a long way to where we want to go.
All right, you've said that Aaron Rodgers is one of the smartest human beings you've ever been around. What's it like to play with him, and how much does that IQ, especially the football IQ, help everybody else on the field?
Man, it's a lot of fun. He makes the game so easy for you, and I tell people this all the time. Just sitting back there in pass protection, especially my rookie year, you know, you're a young guy coming in, pass protection is 100 miles per hour at you when you get to the league. And so you get in the game with A-Rod, and he's like, hey, you have him and him. If he doesn't come, this is your route. And he just makes the game easy for you. He makes you be able to play fast, and he just expects you to know where you're supposed to be at.
Now,
makes it easy for you.
Right. I was going to say, excuse me, you and I have talked in the past about that story from when you first ran onto the field for that first offensive snap of your NFL career, and you're talking about this right now. He said to you in the huddle that he was one of your biggest fans. He recently called you, quote, and this is recent, the dream-type player you enjoy playing with. Man, that is exceptional praise coming from a guy like that. What did that mean to you to hear that from him?
It meant a lot, just knowing I'm his backfield running mate, and that's how he feels about me. It just did a lot for my confidence, made me want to push harder and give him 110% even more and show him there's more left that I can do.
Aaron Jones, my guest. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to mess with you a little bit. In fact, he probably wouldn't if he didn't love you and have respect for you. He said, quote, I like to tease Aaron Jones from time to time. He is the most athletic, fast guy with a little bit of a belly. He's pretty lean this year, end quote. So the story goes, you actually leaned out after changing up your diet and you replaced some candy with apple slices and other healthy options. How hard was that, and what was the hardest candy or dessert to give up?
The hardest candy was gummy bears to give up. That was definitely my snack to go to, and chips. But I just knew if I was able to put that down and just put the right things in my body, I could rebuild myself and get myself the way I wanted to, and it would help me last throughout this long season and stay healthy.
Dude, that struggle is real, and not just for pro athletes, but for everybody. Were you more of a sugar guy or a salt guy?
Sure, definitely.
Yeah, me too, man. Preach. All right, so you're one of the most difficult guys to tackle in the entire league, and you were asked to describe your style. You said, quote, wavy. I don't stop to do a cut. I keep moving, being able to change directions without stopping. Like, how much of that approach is just natural, and how much is that is like a technique and something you work on?
A lot of it is natural, but what you have that is natural, you can also work on it to refine it and make it into a bigger package.
Yeah, 23 carries for 116 yards and a TD in Sunday's win over Minnesota. Part of our Super Bowl coverage last year. Aaron Jones, my guest. Aaron, great to have you back. Always good to talk to you, man. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Look forward to talking to you again.
Aaron, always good to have you on the show. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Aaron Jones joining us. 23 carries, 116 yards, and a touchdown. So his role is getting bigger and bigger, and he's taking advantage of it. Packers out 2-0, and they're at home against Denver. Bronco fans tripping already. I saw all of that reaction yesterday. And we continue now with hour number two. Really quick reset for you. I talked about last night's game and the fact that all of you who rushed in to crush the Browns, talk about how overhyped, overrated, that they had read their own clippings, they were not ready for prime time, and all of you who buried them, push them in that shallow grave, had your shovels out, throwing dirt on them. You could not wait to finish them off in week two when they went on the road in prime time. I said right here, I said on the NFL and CBS, it's only 1 week. It was a terrible week. Bad start. Really bad start. It's only 1 week. They will beat the Jets. They will handle their business. They'll look better doing it. And it was all true. Like, nobody likes anybody who says, I told you so, so I'm not going to be that guy. Yes, I will. I told you so. But then the same people that were looking to kill them after 1 week rushed right back in this morning to say, hey, great, Rome. They beat a third-string quarterback. They beat the Jets. To which my response is, tip your hat. To quote Phil Jackson, give them some bleeping credit.
Give them some credit.
All they can do is play who is in front of them. They didn't make the schedule. Give them some credit. Tip your hat. Keep moving. And if you're Greg Williams, stop calling out Odell Beckham before he makes his return to New York and humiliates you and embarrasses you the way he did.
What's New York's opinion?
What's New York's opinion?
What's
your opinion? What went through your mind when he split your defense and went 89 yards to the house?
What's New York's opinion?
Did you think about coming off the sideline to stop him yourself?
What's New York's
opinion? Yeah, those takes of last week did not age very well for him, did they?
Odell who?
Odell who? The guy went with an Odell who blast.
Odell who?
Before Odell made another miraculous one-handed grab early in the game and then iced the game by going right up the middle, 21.7 miles per hour.
You know, and you guys are cooperating, giving him attention. Just don't give him attention.
Isn't that amazing? That guy complaining about somebody else getting attention. That guy chastising the media for giving somebody else attention. Is there not a bigger look at me assistant coach in the NFL than that guy? Hey, pot.
That's your opinion?
Dear Rome, Eli is second string on the Giants and now third string with me. Cooper moved up to the second favorite. Signed Archie. Stephen PHX. We're Eli Manning demanding a trade to the Dolphins. I will get there. They made their quarterback switch. Hey, Rome, how many times does a coach or a coordinator need to get in front of a mic and bash an opponent only to get roasted by that player before these coaches decide to quit lighting a fire under asses? I'm not sure if you can archive these or not, but I bet there's a soundbite after soundbite of coaches eating crow. Shane and SLO. This guy cannot help himself. Greg Williams simply cannot help himself. For that guy to call out that player before that player, we're talking about a primetime player who loves the big stage, who was going to play in primetime on the only game that night with every one of his peers watching, and he was returning home to do so, coming back to MetLife in a game they had to have.
What did the Giants do?
And that guy's going to go with things like, he's not a playmaker. Odell who?
Odell who?
Yeah, but he's a playmaker, right, Coach?
That's your opinion?
What did the Giants do? What did the Giants say?
Opinion? The Giants' opinion.
What's your opinion? He lit you up, roasted you, embarrassed you, pantsed you, however you want to put it.
What's New York's opinion?
And how enraged was that guy when he took that ball to the house, 89 yards at 21.7 MPH? Maybe you don't call that guy out. And if you're going to call that guy out, and you're going to say things like Odell who?
Odell who?
Man, you better bow up. You better take care of it. Yeah, and if you're just, for those of you in the back, or if you're only now joining us, yes, I acknowledge it. It was not a perfect game by the Browns. Yes, they have things to clean up. Yes, on both sides of the ball. Yes, Baker Mayfield made plays, put up big numbers, but at times, many times, looked uncomfortable behind that offensive line. Yes, the Rams are going to create even more problems for him and them. I understand all that. They are a work in progress. I'm saying they had to win, and they would win, and they did win. Give them their credit. Baker Mayfield, they all know this, especially the QB1?
We absolutely need to play better. I think that's the biggest thing, is not losing sight of that a win is a win, especially on the road, and we needed this one. But, you know, field goals early on, we'll take points, but at the same time, we need to be able to finish those drives. And so, yeah, we need to play better.
100%. He gets it. He knows. But give them their credit. They had to have it. It was on the road. And every last one of you that are taking shots right now would have rushed right in to finish them off if they didn't win that game. But they did. Romy, Odell's catch was nice, but I've done better. Signed, Grant Napier, landing his wife.
How did you land this beautiful woman, Grant? You must have $10 million in a crank the size of that microphone you're talking about.
He is the BIC. He is the GOAT. This is why he wins the smack off every single year. Brad in Corona said to Grant Napier, how in the world did you land that wife? You must have $10 million in the bank and junk the size of that mic you're talking into. He said that on this show.
How did you land this beautiful woman, Grant? You must have $10 million in a crank the size of that microphone you're talking
into. All right, so I was not there that day, obviously. He was speaking to Grant Napier. Alvin, I've got a question, because I was not here that day. Why did you run him? What did Brad do? Why did you run him? You must have had a really itchy trigger finger that day, Alvin. Don't be so sensitive. What did he do to get run? He's the BIC. He's Brad and Corona. All right, so we'll come right back. I've got Levante David at 40 past. You have your telephone number. Use it. Hiring can be a very slow process. Cafe Alturas. Dylan Mishkowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and was so impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature so he could focus on the most relevant ones. That's how my man D found his new director of coffee in only a few days. With results like that, it is no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try it for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. 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 ZipRecruiter. It is the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Adam Schefter tweets, Jets QB Trevor Siemian out for the season with an ankle injury. I'm still stunned that he walked off the field on his own power. I'm no doctor, but I thought there was going to be an amputation right there on the field. But you want to talk about a tough dude. Kobe blowing out his Achilles and walking off after shooting throws was impressed. When I saw that injury and quickly looked away and thought to myself, oh man, that is really, really, really bad. And not only do I not want to see that again, I would do anything to unsee that. The only thing that made that better was seeing that guy walk off on his own power. I was shocked. I'm not shocked that he's out for the rest of the season. I mean, I see an injury like that, I think you're out for the rest of your life. And this guy walked it right off. This guy walked it right off the field into the locker room. Man, that was bad ass. That was tough. Next man up. Luke Falk is your next man up, and he looked really comfortable running that offense last night. Comfortable enough to dump it off to Le'Veon Bell. Like, speaking of crazy eyes, and I want to get into this. If that guy truly is a genius and a mastermind, why did it take so long to start getting the ball to Bell? How smart do you have to be? Meantime, going back to Aaron Jones, no clones. I was not going to ask him, hey, does your quarterback hate the coach? And if so, how much? You know, me, I didn't make a big deal out of that, the exchange they had on the sideline, LaFleur and Rodgers. The reason I didn't make a big deal out of that is because, to me, it was not a big deal. It was not a big deal. And I'm not going to look at something like that and say, see, that's evidence that they don't like each other. That's evidence that he actually hates his coach. I would never say that. I don't need to. I have Trevor Price to say that for me.
Can we say the most truthful thing in the world? Aaron Rodgers hates that guy. Can we just be honest? And I am not talking about Jim. I'm not talking about the exchange on the sideline, right? Where they were getting at each other and yelling at each other's face. I'm talking about the things he says in the paper. Anytime your quarterback says about your coach, hey, if you're friends with Sean McVay, they'll give you a job. And your head coach happens to be a friend of Sean McVay who got that job because he was on the Rams staff, you are saying something. You are saying something. Watch Aaron Rodgers on the sideline hug it out with Mike Bettini, with the defensive corner, the defensive coordinator who was in Baltimore with me and in the Jets with me. Watch how Aaron Rodgers talks to this guy. What you cannot do, what these team GMs and owners cannot do, is give an old cranky man like Aaron Rodgers a kid for a coach. You cannot do that. That was, listen to me right now. Clones, everybody listen. That is going to burn down, and I don't care how many games they win.
That was amazing when he said it live yesterday, but hearing that back on tape today, it's even more amazing. So you probably think to yourself, hey, Rome, why didn't you run that clone? Why didn't you run that caller? How can you let somebody call your radio program and just start saying things like that? The reason I didn't run that caller was because that was a guest. And not only was that a guest, that was a guest who has won 2 Super Bowls. That was a guest who has 98 career sacks. That was a guest who played 14 years in the NFL. That was a guest who was one of the best to do it at that time. That was Trevor Price who said that. And he set it up by saying, can we say the most truthful thing ever? And then just stated it as fact. Quote, that cranky old quarterback hates his young coach. Again, agree to disagree. I don't know that. And I don't know that, especially based on what Trevor said. Trevor said, how do I know? How do I know? It's not what they do on the sideline. It's not what they do in plain view of everybody during the game. It's what he said about him in the paper. He said about him, anybody who knows Sean McVay is going to get a job. Right, Trev? How many people have said that? Everybody says that. That's like a running joke. Trevor's the best. He had Hawk up this morning. Man, they're killing me. Let me back on. Hey, Trevor, you've done your job. You've done enough damage, Trev. Trevor Price got more reaction yesterday than almost any guest we've had on in the last year not named Elk. It jumped the day. Clones were still talking about what Trevor had to say yesterday. And that was just one of 10 or 12 things that he had to say yesterday. So you can come in here or you can find him yourself on Twitter. Trevor's not hiding. He's not hard to find. All right, so where do the Jets go now? Who do they call now? I mean, he is a mastermind. He is a genius. If you're crazy eyes, who is the first call that you make right now for a quarterback? He already admitted he had no idea who the kicker was. Hopefully he's got a Rolodex with some quarterbacks on his short list. When we return, Levante David of Tampa Bay joins us. And then we're wide open, right? Half the show, open phones, 1-800-636-8686. More on the Jets and where they go from here. But first, here is a sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Dell's semi-annual sale saves businesses up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. All you have to do is call 877-BY-DELL, 877-BY-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals. We are efforting Lavonte David, Tampa Bay Bucks linebacker, a Pro Bowler, and an All-Pro. So I'm going to set that up for you momentarily. In the meantime, I do want to talk about the Browns doing what they had to do last night. I want to talk about the Jets and what happened to them, where they go from here. They lose another quarterback. The Giants make their quarterback switch. Daniel Jones is going to get the nod over Eli Manning. Eli is not happy about it, but is saying the right things and doing Eli things. To handle that, we will get into it and more. And I want to remind you, the phone lines are open right now. Take advantage of that. We did front load. I've got three interviews, but I've got time on the back end for that too. 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He is a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro. He had seven tackles in Thursday night's win, over Carolina. One of two players in NFL history to record 800-plus tackles, 20-plus sacks, 10-plus interceptions in his first seven seasons. A two-time All-American at Nebraska. He was the 58th pick overall in 2012. Tampa Bay is 1-1, and they're hosting the Giants on Sunday. Lavonte David is my guest. Lavonte, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. All right, so you beat the Panthers in their place on Thursday night, 2014. Mm-hmm. Might not have been the prettiest game ever, but how pleased were you with the way everybody showed up and you found a way to get a divisional opponent beaten on the road?
Oh, man, I'm very pleased. You know, we grinded for 60 minutes. You know, that's what the game, NFL game is all about, you know, playing for a full 60 minutes. You know, no matter how things turn out. It could be ugly. If it could be ugly, it could be pretty. As long as we end up with a win at the end, that's what happened, man. We showed a lot of grit. We grinded through the whole fourth quarter, and it was a successful day for us because we got the win.
Hey, listen, you guys always say it, and it's true, right? It's so hard to win in the NFL, and it's always going to be a grind. Yeah. But that Sunday to Thursday turnaround is always going to be tough. What's it like to play one this early in the season? Like, is that a good thing because everybody's still fresh, or is it not great timing because it's so early?
I thought it was a good thing, you know, to get it out the way, get that Thursday game out the way, because later in the season, you know, that's when all the nicks and injuries start to come about. But, to get it out the way early, you know, and take care of it, you know, right away, I thought it was a good thing. And it was a momentum builder for us also. And I feel like, you know, the coach did a great job to get us, you know, prepared for it. In a short week, you know, they had game plan ready right away. And we was always very pleased with that. And coach took care of us throughout the week, and we was ready to go on Thursday. So I think it was good to get it out of the way early and just get ready for the rest of the season and get the flow going.
Lavonte David, my guest. I'm glad you mentioned your coach, Bruce Arians. That was his first win for Tampa Bay as head coach. He's a really unique character, a guy that I've got a lot of respect for. What's it been like to play for him so far?
Oh, man, it's been awesome. You know, he's a guy who's straightforward. He's going to tell you how it is. And as an adult, you know, not only as a football player, but as an adult, you know, that's what you want. You know, you want your coach to tell you how it is and then let him know, for him to tell us what he wants from us. And let us go out there and just take control of it. You know, since the day he got here, he always say, you know, this is not his team. This is our team. This is the player's team. So we got to control it. It's going to go how we go. And he made that point right away. And we've been rolling with it ever since.
Lavonte David joining us. Now, the defense had a big goal line stand late to seal that win.
Yeah.
One of the mantras has been for the defense, defend every blade of grass. Two games in as a defense, you've allowed only one touchdown. How would you describe the mentality and the attitude of the defense playing for Todd Bowles?
Oh, man, we just want to be physical and we want to run to the ball. You know, that's the main emphasis of the defense. You know, get the call, get lined up, and play fast. And that's what we try to do. And, you know, throughout practice, throughout the week, you know, you always see, you turn on the film, you see everybody getting to the football, attacking the football, trying to create turnovers. Everybody's out there communicating. That's one of the big improvements that I see for us, you know, as far as coming from spring until now. You know, our communication has picked up big time, and that allows us to run fast and allow us to, play with confidence. So, I feel like, you know, the whole defensive coach staff, you know, made an emphasis on that. That's what he wants us to do. We got to trying to run to the ball no matter what it is and create takeaways and try to create havoc as much as we can. And, you know, we've been pleased with that. You know, not a lot of missed tackles has been going on. So we really try to make emphasis on that, you know, running to the football, making tackles, making sure it's a left man game.
You know, on top of that, you had a lot of success in holding Christian McCaffrey to only 37 rushing yards, 16 receiving yards. What's the key when it comes to limiting his impact and bringing him to the ground?
Oh, man, you know, he's an impactful player. You know, he's a guy who's hard to tackle. He's shifty, and he's stronger, way stronger than a lot of people think. And it goes back to, you know, getting 11 guys to the football. One guy come in, holding him up, everybody else just coming in and rallying on him because, you know, it's going to be very rare where one guy can bring him down. So that was our emphasis against him, you know, just try to play a sound football, and that's what we was able to do. You know, it's very rare that you hold a guy like that to that that many yardage, whatever, total yardage at that. So it was a real collective thing by a unit who was really focused coming into that Thursday night game, and now we ended up getting a W. Now we are ready to move on to the New York Giants.
Levante David joining us. I hear what you're saying. I know you're focused on the Giants. I want to ask you just one more thing about that game. You've gone up against Cam Newton for a number of years now, so you know his game and you know him really well. How did he look to you on Thursday night? Did he look fully healthy to you?
I just felt like he was going with that game plan. You know, he was just going, trying to take what the defense give him. And luckily, you know, we was doing a lot of different things, giving him a lot of different looks, and we was able to, you know, confuse him sometimes. And getting a lot of pressure on him was one of the main things. And I think we was able to do that, get guys in his face, get him off, keep him bottled up a little bit. So I feel like it wasn't more so of him, you know, not really looking as good. It's just us, you know, basically everybody doing their job around him because, you know, Cam is Cam. Cam is a dynamic football player. He can hurt you either way, whether it's running or throwing. And I feel like we just did a great job collectively to keep him contained.
Now, you missed most of the preseason and training camp after a procedure on your knee, but I don't think anybody would know that based on how you've started the season. How did you go about preparing your mind and your body to make sure that you'd be in a spot to contribute as soon as the season started? What was the process?
It was all a mental thing. You know, from the first time I found out, when they told me I had to have surgery, you know, I just tried to lay out a plan. You know, me and the trainers and the coaches, we laid out a plan. And then once we laid the plan out, what's going to happen, you know, how, where I need to be at in a certain amount of time. And then once we laid that out, it was just about me just having the right mindset to attack it, you know, attack the process. And that's what I did. You know, every day I'm getting in, I'm trying to beat the trainers here. I'm trying to get as much work in as I can, you know, whether it's just, you know, just trying to get my strength back, trying to get my extension back, or just trying to get my win back, be able to play for the season. So, you know, I just feel like the training staff did a great job of, you know, just taking baby steps with me, and then I was able to do that. And I honestly feel great. I feel like I haven't missed the whole preseason. So I really, you know, take my hat off to the training staff for that.
Levante David joining us for a few more moments. You've got the Giants coming up this weekend, and they made a quarterback switch. They're going to go with the rookie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you think about preparing for them, how much does your approach change during the week when you know you're going to face a rookie quarterback making his first start?
I mean, it, from what he showed in the preseason, you know, he was awesome. It seemed like he wasn't a rookie throughout the preseason, so you have to go back and look at his preseason tape and try to study off that. But, you know, from what I see on film, you know, he gets the ball out quick, makes the right reads. You know, he basically takes what the defense gives him, and he put the ball on the spot, gets the ball to his playmakers. And, you know, obviously it's a little surprising for him to get in right away, but, you know, when you draft a guy that high, you know, you got to put him in right away if you feel like he can help you win, you know, throw him in there. So I feel like, you know, he's a great football player. He's going to be in the starting making. So it does, you know, change things a little bit for us defensively. But at the end of the day, we just have to be assignment sound and just be ready for what they throw at us.
You know, before I let you go, I want to ask you about Nebraska because you and I have talked in the past about your time there. The other day, Nebraska linebackers coach Barrett Rood was talking about current linebacker Luke Reimer. He said, quote, "I don't want to compare Luke to Levante David too early, but Levante had that thing where he came in here, he played really early, didn't know exactly where he was supposed to be, but always ended up in the right spot. Some guys just have a natural feel for finding their way around the field," end quote. So what's it mean to be a role model or a guy that coaches at Nebraska are going to compare other players to?
It's amazing, man. When I first got to Nebraska, you know, all I used to hear about was Barry, and I watched him when he was down here in Tampa, and I got an opportunity to meet him. You know, Barry's a great guy. He was a great football player at Nebraska, and he has a good career while he was in the NFL. So for him to say that, you know, I really appreciate it. I really, you know, respect Barrett, you know, a long way. You know, he was one of those guys who was one of those guys who we looked up to while we was at Nebraska. So, you know, to have a relationship with a guy like that, man, it's incredible. And then for him to, you know, kind of, you know, see a guy like you say, Luke, who has the skills that I have, you know, the natural instinct that I have, is really promising for me because, you know, as you know, Nebraska, we back on the climb, man. So we need all the talent we can get over there. So it's really good to hear that.
Yeah, one more thought about that, because every time I've got a former Nebraska player on the show, we always end up talking about Nebraska football. How would you describe what the experience was like for you and what makes Nebraska so special?
Oh, man, it was an amazing experience. You know, me coming from, you know, Florida, coming from Miami, I knew nothing about Nebraska. And then when I ended up taking my visit there, it was an incredible, you know, incredible, whatever, 30 hours that I was there. You know, as far as, you know, the game day atmosphere, the people that I met, you know, the educational system, it was amazing. It was all in one, man. You know, I don't regret that decision at all. I'm so proud that I ended up going there because I met a lot of great people. I still have friendships with those people to this day. And I think the whole overall experience was incredible. And, you know, I think, you know, people do, you know, take a visit there often, you know, they'll see why people always have high, talk highly of Nebraska because, you know, just the whole, you know, state, the people, you know, the whole football organization, you know, they handle everything with class, and, you know, I'm really grateful for that.
I agree with everything you just said. That is a great state, great operation, very classy people, great people. You were a two-time All-American there, 58th pick overall in 2012, a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, and Tampa Bay 1-1. They've got the Giants on Sunday. Lavonte David, my guest. Lavonte, really nice to have you on the show. Thanks so much for doing that. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you.
You too. Appreciate you. Lavonte David, Bucks linebacker, and coming off big game. They've got the Giants coming up next. And I will always talk to former Nebraska players about their time at Nebraska. All right, so let me tell you about hour number three really quickly. First of all, an open phone hour. And take advantage of that. Don't waste that opportunity. I've been banging through this thing, running out my takes, my rants, my interviews, and now it's wide open. Go anywhere you want with it. 1-800-636-8686. I'm going to start the hour off by talking more about last night's game. I've already given you my thoughts on the Browns. Let's talk about the Jets. How about that mastermind? Crazy eyes. If you're a genius offensively, if you're a mastermind offensively, what are you waiting for? What are you saving it for? Wasn't that the time to show some of that genius? Where was it? Yeah, I understand they've had bad luck. I understand they were down to a third-string quarterback. I understand all of that, but it's more than just that. It's more than the injuries. After all, you're a mastermind. You're a genius. It's moments like that where that genius shows up. I kept waiting for it. I didn't see it. This email reads, Pimp, T. Price put Donald at 20 miles per hour when he made contact with Breeze's hand. Last night, Next Gen Stats put Odell's top speed on his 89-yard TD at 21 miles per hour. Can you imagine Trevor's answer when a cop pulls him over and asks, how fast was he going? Jeff from the 919. He's got a pretty good point, right? So last night, Odell got up to 21.7 miles per hour. That was the fastest a wide receiver has run all season long. Trevor Price tried to make the point last night that Aaron Donald was running at 20 miles per hour when he hit Drew Brees' hand. He said that Brees' hand also was traveling at 20 miles per hour when he hit Aaron Donald's hand. Man, Aaron Donald is explosive. I mean, explosive. But my man can't go from 0 to 20 through the line of scrimmage and through two linemen. He's not that explosive. He can't go from 0 to 20 in three steps. That first step is not that fast. Nor is he that explosive. Trevor, I got to say I disagree with that too. Third hour's next. Don't go anywhere.